Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Brittany kind of put her trust into Jax, is what it seemed like. And he, you didn't think he was ever going to hurt her because she was just that sincere and honest. And he bought her a boob job. so it's pretty funny. You're like, wow, okay, that's a great present. Everyone's got their thing.
All right, you're pumped, I'm pumped, Claire's pumped, we're all pumped. Yes, Vanderpump Rules is our Fanatics topic today, but I'm already getting ahead of myself. I'm one of your hosts, David Magadoff. With me is my most wonderful co-host, Claire Kramer. Hi, Claire.
Hello, David. You actually had me, I LOL'd at your opening. Truly.
Oh,
the pump.
I
the
feel
pump,
honored.
Pumping pump works. It works.
Yeah.
Usually when I think of pumping, I think of gas. But now I will think of Lisa Vanderpump and Vanderpump Rules.
And you also had 4 kids, Claire. So I'm sure there's other things you've thought about with the word pump.
Well, that was a long time ago, David. I'm not one of those cover of Time magazine people. anyway, yes, Molly Gray is on today. And she is just awesome. If you guys don't know her, she is from, I don't know, you mentioned I have kids. I have seen the Teen Beach movie quite a few times, and also the second one. She was in High School Musical 3, and right now, you probably know her on TikTok with the Pride House, which I'm a huge fan of. So,
yeah, how cool that these guys are creating this safe place to talk about LGBTQ, queer community experiences, and she's just a major, 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 major part of that, and that's a huge a heart for that. And she talks so much about her heart for Vanderpump Rules, which kind of all connects, which is beautiful, right?
I love it. Like what I got from, and I've never met her. I obviously, we look up our guests because we want to like, you know, just see who we're interviewing. She's such a great personality online, and like her TikTok is amazing, and obviously Instagram and stuff. But just the whole half hour we spent talking to her, I just felt warm and fuzzy inside, you know, like I just really enjoyed her. So I already sent her a message. I DM'd her and just said, hey, thanks for coming on. Let's be friends. She's that kind of girl.
Boom.
Boom.
She is that kind of girl. And this is that kind of podcast. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Molly, let's just get right into it. Were you surprised that Raquel and James called off their engagement?
I'm not surprised, but I will tell you that my heart was a little bit tattered, especially like when I watched the final tell-all, all of that. I kind of felt bad for James. I was like, poor guy is actually, I think, genuinely in love with Raquel, and I just feel like she was kind of fed up. Like, you know, things just got too crazy, but not surprised, but I hate to admit that I'm not surprised. I just really like them.
Okay, for people who have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, today, Molly,
like
we are
me.
Talking about your fanaticism for Vanderpump Rules, and that yes. is actually a, well, why don't you just describe the show to us? Give us the basic description for those who have never heard of it.
Yeah. Okay, so Vanderpump Rules is kind of like my go-to show to feel normal. I feel like I'm 30 years old, but I still like to go out. I like to party. I like to have fun with my friends and kind of like act crazy. And they kind of give the okay to do that. It's Lisa Vanderpump. It's the bartenders and the servers that work at Sir Pump, now Tom Tom. They have this whole franchise and they just have so much drama. And it's like watching a car accident. You don't want to look, but you can't stop. It's so good.
How often do you watch? Has it been something that you've done since you're like a little kid? Is this something that you just got into?
No, since the first season. I actually didn't even start watching it till technically the second, but the first season was already out there. So binge watch the first season, the second. I'm kind of that person where I'm so obsessed that like watching it week to week is frustrating. I almost wait for it to be done so I could binge it all on like buy it on iTunes. I'm even such a supporter. I buy the episodes. I don't just record them.
That shows your level of dedication.
Yeah. And I think just because I get so busy and I am also an actor and I do a lot of like script stuff all the time that my brain is just like such at ease when I can just watch kind of like reality TV that just takes me away and just makes me giggle and leaves me with cliffhangers, you know what I mean? So it kind of is like a weird calming to my brain. It sounds terrible, but it is.
No, this is we've had a number of people on and going into reality TV is their happy place. So yeah. You are a normal American.
Perfect.
Is there something that in particular attracted you to this show? I mean, it takes place in West Hollywood and Hollywood. You live in Los Angeles. Yeah. Is there something about like being regionally close to the setting of the shows that's appealing?
Yeah, I think what I also really liked about it is it felt like it arm's reach. Like I can go to that bar. I can go see those servers. I've been to an event actually at Sir and I had my birthday at Pump and like it's so cool to see them and then see their success, right? And a lot of them were discovered in their, when I first started watching it, my like early 20s, and a lot of them got discovered being on that show and Lisa Vanderpump provided these opportunities. And so for me coming out here in LA and seeing these servers that were working their ass off and then like get this opportunity to one, like be a part of a reality show, and then there's been people who's gone on to do makeup lines, book major movies, you know, like all that kind of stuff. So it just seemed relatable to me in the sense of that's who I am. That's what I'm doing. I can see myself in that person. And yeah. And then just it being like 15 minutes away. It's not like I stalk them, but
you happen to get a list of addresses.
Oh my God.
Have you met everyone? Is the goal to meet everybody before you die?
I mean, that would be crazy. Actually, I've worked with a lot of A-list, you know, celebrities. Like my first acting job was all my scenes were with Ashton Kutcher. And like, so everyone's like, oh my God, did you freak out? And I was like, no. But my birthday, like I think it was 2-3 years ago, I get confused with COVID years. I had my birthday at Pump and then we were walking over and Lisa Vanderpump was coming out of Tom Tom. And the person that one of my really good friends works there, so kind of hooked us up with the space. And I took a picture with her. And I feel like I was the biggest idiot. I was like, hi, Lisa. I'm like such a relatable person. I feel like I'm like easy to talk to, but I was just, she's kind of like queen bee for me. And so I'm like, hey, Lisa, if you're listening, I'd love to be on your show. But, you know.
Okay, what about, let's go. What about her personality is so like appealing and attractive to you?
Yeah. I just love that she's such a boss. I think that like, but in the nicest way possible, she like has like a direction that she wants to go with the conversation and she gets there not by like pointing fingers at you and saying that you're like a terrible person, but letting you know, hey, the way that was delivered isn't appropriate and I'm not going to handle it. I won't deal with that in my space. And that's why I feel like her like aura is so nice, and all of her bars that have been seen on the show or that I've attended, like they're just so beautiful, but because I feel like they're filled with beautiful people, not only on the outside, they're all aesthetically pleasing, of course, but they also have like good, you know, their intention is to make sure that Lisa and Ken are happy. And she's almost like a mother figure type person. And I think that's really, really special to have a boss like that rather than somebody that feels like they're the hierarchy at the top of the pyramid.
Do you look at this as like, well, I'm never going to be this kind of a person who has like all these people under her and taking care and mentoring? Or yeah. Are you the type of person who watches and goes, I kind of look at her as a role model. I think this is a life I'd like to have one day. She's a badass bitch and yeah. I want to be her one day.
No, yeah. I do. I want to be her. I like watch her. Like every time I also watch the show and see her have conversations, I almost take it as like a masterclass. You know, it's like as actors, like, right, we watch somebody that we really idolize in a movie and it's just like a free masterclass to see like, wow, those choices are really great. Actually, my husband Jekka and I, we own a dance training program and we have like over 100 kids virtually in person. We have about 3 different programs and we just hired about like 10 employees this year to kind of work with us, which was really cool. And I do feel like I have that when we have those conversations. I will never be rude to somebody. I will never, like, if you want people to work for you genuinely, then you're going to have kind of that respect for them and they'll have that respect for you, of course. And I feel like that's normal common sense, but the way that she does it is just so badass. Like, yeah, I want to be like that.
That's one of the great things I feel like about reality TV is, you know, you're right. You can study like characters in movies, but you're always looking at it from an artistic point of view. This is like life lessons right in front of you. You know, yeah. So what do you yeah. think is like your biggest life lesson that you've taken away? Not being rude, learning how to run a business, or, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but.
No, totally. I do think like, and it's so funny, like to get this from this like drama reality show, but there's actually a character that I really connect with on there. Her name's Lala Kent. And she is this beautiful blonde girl. We're like kind of the same age. I think she's like 32 or something. And I just look at her and she doesn't take really shit from anyone. And she's very direct and people kind of take that the wrong way sometimes. But she always is standing up for women. She stands up for the people that she believes in. And she does kind of take that like Lisa vibe to it, but she also kind of has a fiery side, which I really like. You know, I get misunderstood a lot because people think I'm really young and I have a young voice and I'm bubbly and which I love. I'm like, thanks, mom, for the good genes. But I think like watching somebody like that, and Lisa is like, I can be direct and I can be nice about it without looking childish or looking young. I can be a boss. Just because I like look young doesn't mean that I can't be, you know, a boss.
No, so, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What is your process when you go to like watch a new episode or a new season that you have not seen yet?
Oh yeah. Do you have to like, you have to have like the tea ready? Is it nighttime, daytime?
Oh, it's definitely nighttime. I mean, my days are psycho. So like wake up super early, get all my work done. I usually hope to end my day around like 8:30, 9 p.m. Come home, kind of hang out with my dogs and then pour me a bad glass of wine, sit on my couch, start a fire in the fireplace, and then just watch. And that's kind of like my go-to.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Now, does Jekka watch as well, your husband? Is this something important for him? Or is he like, I will watch this because I love you? Or is he in the other room?
No, so funny because this show, I'm like a big reality junkie, so I watch a lot of reality. But this show and Bachelorette are kind of my go-tos, but Vanderpump's like my number one. And he always says like, here's another show that you love. And then he's always kind of on the sideline. And then he gets involved. Then he gets interested and has to know what happened. So then he starts sitting by me. I was like, I thought you don't like this show. And he's like, well, I gotta know what happens now. Like, the cliffhanger is too big. So yeah, he's definitely right there next to me now that we're like so many seasons in.
And how often do you watch? Do you watch every day something, like some form, whether it's an episode you've seen or?
I'll like, if I say, because I travel on the weekends a lot too, so I have all like the episodes downloaded, and that's kind of, I could play it kind of like just like in the background where I could maybe do some work where I don't have to watch because I already know what happened. So I'll like do some maybe emails, or I'll put it on. It'll like go to sleep. It's like my go-to to go to sleep too. It's just, yeah, so I'm pretty obsessed, I guess, if you think about it.
My producer's asking, what is one of your favorite La La moments?
Oh, okay. Wow. There's a lot. Okay.
Boil it down to your top 13.
Yeah, I'm like, but top 20. Let's go. No, actually, this most recent tell-all is when I really kind of connected to her on a really personal kind of human level. I used to just kind of be like, wow, she's such a badass, and like she's such a boss, and she's beautiful, and she has this makeup line. She has a daughter, but she showed this genuine kind of reaction because her and Randall just broke up. I guess he was caught like cheating with some girls, and you know, she has a lot of emotions, and like she'll get frustrated and she'll call people out, or like when her father died, like she was like crying. But this just felt so sad. Like it was like, you know, like when you watch somebody try not to cry and then they're like crying and their face twitches. Like, that's probably the most beautiful, sad, honest moment I've seen her have. And she also looked stunning, so it was kind of weird. But yeah, I think that's like the best moment I've seen from her, and why I even fell in love with her a little bit more. So,
oh,
yeah.
Out of all these shows, you said you love reality shows. You enjoy them all.
Yes.
Amazing. Glad that you have such a busy day and then all the time in the world to watch every Bachelor.
Oh, yes.
I envy your 30 hours in a day. Yeah. I'd like to have six of them. Yeah. So we're clear. So my question then is, why is Vanderpump Rules number one? Is it simply Lisa, or is it the format? Is it the group together? Because, you know, why are we talking about this one today and not The Bachelor with you?
Yeah. So for me, I just really connect with them on such a personal level as far as like our same age. I feel like I've grown up with them. Like, so we all were immature about almost a decade ago, and now like my husband and I are looking to buy a house, and they just bought a house. It just feels kind of parallel, or like my career starting to really peak, and so is theirs. And it just, but I also want to go like crazy with my group of friends. Like, I want to go like get super drunk and make funny memories, rather than just like end up married and then have a bunch of kids. You know what I mean? Like, I still want that fun kind of craziness, and it just feels like they're doing it, and we're kind of like on a parallel like situation. So I just connect with them kind of that way.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So because it started in 2013, so 9 years ago. You've had 9 years to grow up with these people.
Yeah.
That's cool, girl.
Yeah, thanks.
Would you go on? I mean, we kind of joked about it, but what would you do if you went on? I mean, clearly you wouldn't, you know, start as a server, but what sort of role could you see Molly taking on the show?
In my friend group, like, you could tell me anything. I'm not like a big gossip queen, so I feel like I'd be that like really reliable friend, but I'd also bring a lot of awareness to the LGBTQ+ community. I don't feel like there's much representation there. And then obviously my husband being trans and me being an advocate for the queer youth, all of that. I feel like if I were on the show, I would definitely like try and bring that to the front. And I wouldn't cause too much drama and like sleeping with any of them, because obviously I'm married. So they would have a little bit of a relaxation with that.
Okay, so Lisa, are you listening? We have a great addition here for season 10. I mean, this makes total sense to me.
Here's my pitch.
It's a great elevator pitch. And we're going to push it out there when we air this episode. I love it. I love it.
I love it.
Yeah. Claire's got your back, girl.
This is one of the reality shows I haven't watched, so I can't wait. I am also a reality junkie, but I don't know. This one slipped by me. I don't know why. I love the idea of like growing up with a cast, and you're not growing up with, you know, fictional characters. These are real people out there. So that's appealing. I can see why that's so appealing, because we live such a unique life in Los Angeles, you know, and it's not really reflected in a lot of places, especially being like an up and coming, you know, most of the time you think servers, well, they're, a lot of people make the assumption that they would like to be an artist, you know, eventually, which is one of the doors the show has opened, you know, for so many of them, which is great.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really inspiring. There's a lot of cast members that have came like in and out during the seasons because they got booked on, you know, a major show, or you saw this one character a few years ago. I forget her name, but she came in. She was there for about a season, and like they kind of like teased her because she was a little bit more on like the awkward side. She auditioned for this huge movie, like a career-breaking movie that would get her into the industry, and she booked it. I think it was, she only had like it was maybe a five-liner, but it was like a huge way into creating more opportunities. And you watch somebody who moved out there for that dream and get like this huge, you know, Steven Spielberg-esque type movie, and then you watch it in real life and you're like, whoa, that could be me. So it's pretty cool.
Definitely.
It feels tangible. These people feel tangible to you, and that's very special.
Yeah.
All right, I got a rapid fire for you, Molly.
Okay.
This is for all the deep divers out there who are all deep in the Vanderpump Rules world, and especially you.
Don't be nervous.
Here we go. favorite witches of WeHo.
Stassi, probably.
Okay, Stassi versus Laura Lee.
Oh, that's Laura Lee. That's the one who booked it. Okay. Stassi, for sure.
Okay, for sure. Tom Schwartz versus Tom Sandoval.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me this. Schwartz. Okay. Yeah.
Go for the Jew. Worst tattoo, Jack Stassi, Sandoval's A, or Schwartz's LVP?
I would probably have to go with the LVP. It's not the worst one, but it was probably the most iconic. Like, you have a tattoo of Lisa Vanderpump's name on your ass. That's really cool.
Don't we all? Getting married at someone's engagement party trip.
Oh, my gosh. I do not like... I was so mad watching that. I was like, bro, literally, James Kennedy put in all this effort and created this entire, like, you know, engagement party. And then you want to come and just get married to Sheena on his expense when he already tried to get Lala and Randall to pay for his engagement venue. I was like, ugh, no, I'm not a huge fan of him. If you can tell.
I don't like that either. I don't know any of these people. I'm just hearing that story. I'm like, no. Yeah. All right. Last one. Was it about the pasta?
It's not about the pasta. That's a tagline that always happens, but yeah, no. Might have been. Who knows?
How much do the Excellent. Parameters of like the job play into the personality types that end up on the show, do you think?
Yeah, there's a good kind of filter in everything. You definitely have your one that you're like, you know, like always is making bad decisions, or you have the one where you're like, you know, like Sheena, for instance, like is so just, she just falls in love so fast and makes weird decisions. And then she's like, poor me. Sometimes, that sounds terrible. Sorry, Sheena.
Sounds familiar.
Sheena, if I'm ever listening to this. Yeah. But I just, yeah, there's definitely characters that are very solid, and then they kind of, you know, filter different ones to stir some things up for sure. Mm-hmm.
Is there any merch? Do you own any of it? If there is, do you want to make some?
I know. I actually don't know, but I do like, I buy like, give them Lala beauty products. I always try and like support whatever their businesses are. I try and kind of help out. I know like me buying one, you know, order every so often isn't going to be huge, but it kind of helps, you know, their business. Or Lisa Vanderpump has a rescue, and I'm always on there donating because I also want to start a rescue one day of my own. So I try and just like help out their business rather than like fan it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan. I need to buy everything. I know like if somebody's passionate about something, I would like, if I have a clothing line one day or I have a makeup brand and I want it to be successful, I would hope people that enjoy me buy my products. So
you are such a like loyal, nice person. They are so lucky to have you as a fan. They really are. We're going to make sure that you know, Lisa especially knows it. That is like the nicest description of being supportive I've ever heard.
Thank you.
I love it. So tell me about the feeling like inside when you pour that glass of wine and you sit down on the couch and you get the clicker and put it on. What is going on inside of you?
I honestly just like feel happy, and I'm sometimes nervous depending on what the episode before was like, kind of the cliffhanger. I just feel like I'm not working. And like we said earlier on the podcast, when I'm watching these great movies or other TV shows, I feel like I am artistically and creatively like analyzing everything, or I'm looking, you know, I'm just looking for different things. When I'm watching this, I just feel like I'm not working at all, and I'm just relaxing and I'm having me time, and I get to, you know, like have fun doing it.
Do you think you're like, in a way, maybe this is reading into it too much, but do you think you're kind of like projecting like a motherly figure on Lisa or a mentor?
Totally.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I totally think so. I think that, like, you know, all like, I'm a big believer in manifesting, and where you put your energy is what's going to happen. And, you know, I do feel like if I can shadow somebody and without, I mean, if I could like shadow Lisa in person, of course I would. But the next best thing is to kind of watch how she works. And I know it's reality and things are edited and all that, but there is so much to learn from a reality show that's conducted great. Like, I'm not watching Jersey Shore and being like, wow, I want to own a business like Snooki. You know what I mean? Like, she definitely, like, Lisa Vanderpump holds a stature on the show. And it's really inspiring.
Okay, there's been a lot of really heartbreaking moments in the show.
Yes.
Are there any that stand out to you or stick with you to this day, that breaking your heart and feeling for that person going
through? Why do you want
her
heart broken, David? Yeah. Why you got to be like that?
You know, all the feels, right? This is a wholehearted life that we live, right?
Yeah, totally. The main one would probably be just recently with the Lala and Randall thing, but there was a couple seasons ago, Brittany and Jax were characters on it. They're not on it this season, but Brittany is like the nicest, is portrayed to be the nicest, you know, kind of like humble person from the South. And she's supposed to change Jax because he's like this big cheater and all of that. And Brittany kind of put her trust into Jax, is what it seemed like. And you didn't think he was ever going to hurt her because she was just that sincere and honest. And he bought her a boob job, so it's pretty funny. You're like, wow, okay, that's a great present. And then he did. He slept with somebody, and the just sadness and the anger of somebody who just packed up her whole life, moved to LA, would like make this man a sandwich if he asked for it in the moment. Like, just so genuine. He definitely learned from that, from what we see on the show. And they like now are together and married and babies and all that. So I think Jekka and I have been together about 8 years. And right before, I went through a really toxic relationship and got my heart broken. And so same thing kind of as Stassi and Jax, because Stassi and Jax started, and then Jax and Brittany. And so I kind of was connecting with that type of thing, like, damn, like, I'm like, relate to this person a lot. So I really connected with the heartbreak of, you know, because my heart's been broken before. And so those are the kind of the moments that stuck out to me with my sad heart.
Okay, so you're obviously an accomplished actress, dancer, you know, personality, if you will, huge online following.
Yeah.
You know that people can reach out to you. You know, if you're going through, share something personally, people can DM you, people can leave something in the comments. Have you ever felt the desire, and you don't have to say if you did or didn't, to reach out to someone on the show because you were moved by what they were going through, or you had empathy?
Wow. No, I haven't. I kind of watched from the sidelines, but I never really thought to do that. I also am like a weird believer that, like, if we ever work together, I don't want like us to start following each other and then just weird DMs or something. I don't know. But yeah, no, I guess that's a really good point that I've never thought of, is to like, just because I have that kind of notoriety in my field doesn't mean that like I couldn't reach out too. That's an interesting kind of thing. But no, I have not.
You know what? I find like, I think it's easier to drop something in like the Instagram comments now, because you really, you start to see like people supporting each other there. That's a good entry point for you, Molly.
Yeah, I'll leave like a heart or something for their engagement. But I've never DM'd.
I love it. Would you consider, you know, a lot of times, as David's mentioned, we've had people talk about different reality shows, and they sort of, you know, become in a way like family, the characters on the shows, because they're, you know, they're in their mm-hmm. living room with you. You're, you know, you're sitting right. there every night hanging out in your personal clothes in your own home. You know, yeah. it has that sort of happened with the cast of this show?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I still would have that respect if we were at an event or something. I wouldn't like walk up to them and be like, hey, girl. You know what I mean? Like, I would definitely make sure they knew like I respected their career and all of that. But I do feel like I've connected with them just based on the vulnerability that they've chosen to give on the show. So, yeah. And it's interesting enough, too, because I did a reality show forever ago called So You Think You Can Dance. And there were people that came up to me that said they felt that. They were like, I feel like I got to know you. I feel like we're friends. I feel like we're family. And I always thought that was so interesting. I was like, oh, that's so crazy because of what you've seen on the show. Flip it to now when I've had that connection with these cast members. And it's pretty cool what we can do through a television. So
it is pretty cool.
It is. It's really cool. And I love So You Think You Can Dance, by the way. Do you ever think you would open your own life up to a reality show? Knowing how it can, you know, really affect other people. You know, you mentioned obviously Pride House yeah. and your own personal situation and advocacy. So would you ever want yeah. that projected out there as something that people could learn from and relate to?
Yeah, that's kind of our main goal right now. So we have some fun stuff coming up. I can't really share, but I think bringing more light to our community is what's needed in this industry, in this world, and everything. So that would be like top of my list.
And then sure. you could, you know, Molly, you could be your own version of Lisa on your own show. And I yeah. would definitely watch it.
Yes, I would love that.
She's got a secret smile. There's a show happening. She's talking to networks, folks. All right. Apple TV's already got contracts out there. I feel it. Molly, this has been an absolute pleasure. You are a delight. Can you please regale us with a love letter to Vanderpump Rules?
Of course, I would love to. Dear Vanderpump Rules, thank you so much for being open and honest and putting your life and personal issues in the front line for all of us to kind of relate to and normalize that drama and fun and craziness is accepted. And yeah, you're never too old to make memories with your great friends. So thank you so much. I definitely love y'all, and I will be at your bars. Every single one of them. But I love y'all. Love, Molly.
I love that.
Cheers.
Yay.
To that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, of all the reality shows I've watched, this is one that I have not seen, David. And I could really relate to what Molly was saying about really, you know, envisioning yourself in this show, in this scenario, because I too came of age in New York and Los Angeles. And back then was kind of like when The Hills and Laguna Beach, The Hills, the original sort of crew was coming around. So I can relate to it. And I still kind of follow like Kristen and Lauren and all those peoples from back in the day. And Spencer and Heidi, who are still married. See, I'm invested still all these years later.
I know exactly what you're typing into Google after we're done recording. This is so sweet, exactly what you just said, Claire, right? It's sweet to remind ourselves that we let these people into our lives every day or week or whatever we watch these shows, and it could be the TV show Friends, it could be The Office, it could be Vanderpump Rules, whatever it is, you are probably hanging out and hearing these people's voices, whoever's watching, your shows, my shows, all of our shows, more than our own families. And so to say that they're not deeply connected to us, like, there's a reason why, and I don't want to spoil it for those who still haven't seen it, but with Dexter New Blood, it ends a certain way, and there's a reason why people were very, had feelings about it. And I think it's because when you do things to members of your family, you're sad or happy or scared or confused. So it's, I get, it doesn't have to be an actual member of your family to feel like a member of your family. And I think she just sees Lisa in that kind of a way as like a mother figure and a mentor and someone that she can be inspired by. And I get it. I get it. TV is a powerful, powerful thing. It's very
cool. Who do you watch on TV that you're like, that's my mentor? That's my, if let's put like, you know, the iron to the fire here, David. Who is your reality mentor?
Oh, you put me on the spot, Claire. It's a great question. It's a great question. I would say quickly thinking, oh God, I don't know. I can't even give a quick answer because I can tell you who my family is. I definitely watch The Office to a ridiculous degree.
But that's not like reality. So many people. Think reality, reality. You just gave a.
I don't watch a lot of reality though. Maybe that's the thing. So for me, it's scripted television. There's like the Schitt's Creek family. That feels like a family to me. The Office family, Cheers family. But yeah, reality's not my thing. I'm just gonna be. Really honest with you on that.
Okay. Well, do you want to ask me who mine is?
I do. I was waiting for you just to go into it.
I would say I do love all reality, like all different, from Survivor to, you know, the Top Chef to Amazing Race to Shark Tank, which I try to watch whenever I have a chance, especially with my kids. I think it's really good for them to see like what it's like to be a young entrepreneur and believe in an idea and try to execute from basically nothing. So on that show, obviously Mark Cuban is on that show, and I am a huge, huge, huge Mark Cuban fan. I believe he is one of the billionaires in the world that is doing right with his money. I love that he started his own pharmaceutical company that is challenging everything we know about the pharmaceutical industry. That's another podcast. Also watch Dope Sick. Danny Strong wrote it. Mark Cuban would be my person who I've been able to watch and learn from in reality television. So for what it's worth, there you go. And I love basketball. And
I think it's worth a lot. Too.
So.
Yeah, I'm a big Cuban fan. I dig. Now that I have a moment to think about it, I'm actually going to say someone who's a podcaster, Mark Maron. I would say if I ever met Mark in person, that would be a big moment. I did see him at a show once, and he actually asked the audience once and said, I asked a question, and I went, correct. And he was like, correct. Okay, correct. Thank you, sir. but he didn't say it in a mean way. He kind of laughed about it because I just happened to say. So for me, that was like the closest I ever got. But I've heard a lot of his life, and it's just very, and to know it's real, but it's also, it's not performing, but I know his story about his mom and his father and his brother. And I worked on set with the woman who passed away, who was his girlfriend, Lee. Yeah, I get it. You know, it all's a thing, man. It's all a thing.
Who is the biggest person you have like fanboyed out meeting?
Meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, these are great questions. Can you answer first?
Because I mean,
you
I should a do quick, a podcast.
Yeah, you should do a great podcast. You should host a podcast, Claire. I listen to it. Do you have an answer first and then let me kind of meditate on that?
There have been a few. The one that comes to mind is when I met Jeff Probst, which is like an unlikely candidate. But, you know, I do love hosting and podcasting and talking. And he's made obviously a really successful career with Survivor doing that. So, and he's taken the role in a different direction than it could have been. It's really about him as a person, and he relates to the cast members and you know, so he was pretty cool to meet. I mean, I'm sure there's actors obviously that I've met that, but he's one that's like the unlikely person that you would say, you know?
I love it. I would say a bunch of people, but one of them was getting to meet Martin Short on Morning Show. Mm. He was just, I never thought I'd meet him in my life. And the fact that I met him and we chatted and he was a nice guy. And I told him about some SNL favorite things and he's happy to talk. And he like knew my name and would say that. Just, yeah, that was a delight, a total delight. Because you're scared. And I don't know about you. I would get very scared to meet people who are heroes of mine because I don't want them to say anything bad about me. And then it scars my memory of them for life. So it's always a very precipice moment for me when I do meet someone I really care about, because I have this very crystallized feeling of them that they can't hurt me. And until I meet them, it's possible they might hurt me. But then if they're cool, now it's like the greatest thing ever.
Yes.
And that was that moment with Martin for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm sure we could sit here and, you know, ask each other questions all day. I've got more for you, David, but that pretty much sums up this week's episode, Vanderpump Rules, with the amazing Molly Gray. And if you guys haven't, you need to share this podcast with your friends. Please let your friends know. Introduce me and David to someone new. We like making friends.
Let us be the people that one day you'll meet in person and will give you encouragement and love. And you're going to be like, oh, wow, I thought Claire was really cool. She's even cooler. Or like, oh, wow, I thought David was really cool. Oh, no, I met him in real life. David.
I can only hope I'm just as wealthy as Mark Cuban for that moment. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you guys on next week's episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, before we let you guys go, let me tell you about next week's episode with Jekka Jane. You know Jekka. He's a dancer, but also part of TikTok's LGBTQ safe and inclusive space, the Pride House, guys. 5.5 million likes, 400,000 followers. Come on, guys. This is good stuff. And speaking of good stuff, he loves hashtag van life. Talking van renovations. Get into your minimalist mindset and get on the road with us. See you next Thursday.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @WeAreFanatics.
Yes, that's We Are, FANADDICTS. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Live it up. Raise it up. Up to the sky. Up to the sky. Just raise your glasses high. This one's for you tonight.
Nailed it.